are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletta.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right.
Good. No special guests today. We're back to just you and me.
Just us.
Normal recording day, a little bit of scheduling issue, but we worked it out. I'm, you know, not doing something I wanted to do, but I'm here
you're
for the dedication of our listeners.
Yep. For all 11 of you.
There's more than 11. Come on now. And before we get into today's show, we have an Eagles preview. We got some Flyers to talk about. It's exciting stuff. I'm here to tell you, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike _ Gilletto. And you can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, Last Word on Sports.com, and our new YouTube page.
Is it new still? I don't know if it's new.
Listen, until we get more than 5 or 6 views on every show, it's going to be new.
Okay.
So
go watch it, so this way we don't have to hear him say new every week.
Yeah, check out our YouTube account. Again, it's just the show for now, but if you toss us a subscribe over there, you know, like, follow, subscribe, all that YouTube stuff, that would be greatly appreciated. And we may or may not have some extra content.
So, yeah, I know you're going to the game in Boston.
In a couple of weeks. And I might do some vloggy stuff. I'm making plans to meet up with our buddy Charlie, Agent Zero, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
At least for the game, maybe dinner beforehand. You know, we're working that out.
Got to wine and dine him first.
He's got to wine and dine me. I'm coming in from out of town.
That's true.
But anyway, it should be a fun trip. And I was thinking of doing some vlog type stuff for that. And maybe I'll make Mike video edit for me.
Yeah, I'm just a tech guy.
Exactly. So tech guy. Yep. We got an Eagles game today.
We do.
It's a 4:25, 4:15, whatever time the kickoff is for the 4 o'clock slot.
Yeah.
And the Philadelphia Eagles are playing the Minnesota Vikings at Lincoln Financial Field on national television. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Yeah, it's a rematch.
What happened last time, Mike?
It didn't work out well for the Vikings. I'll say that.
No, was it 35-7 or something outrageous? The Eagles destroyed the NFC Championship game, if you don't know what we're talking about. The Eagles won the NFC Championship game over the Vikings. Things have changed, but both teams are still relatively similar.
Relatively.
Obviously, at the end of the season, you're a little beat up. You know, there was a big emotion. That was a big emotion game, whereas this is week 5. But the Eagles are 2-2.
Yeah,
and really don't want to follow 2-3.
No,
like
no, they don't. The Eagles haven't looked good. I mean, it's kind of what they did last year though. They were really good at home and mediocre at best on the road.
Well, they're at home today,
but they are at home today.
Maybe this is the day you work out the Kings.
I hope so. But like that Minnesota defense is good. Well, I mean, they're good. They're also a similar situation where they're good at home and bad on the road. So maybe they exploit that again.
Well, and Carson Wentz has played about as much time by now as he would have if he had been in the preseason.
Yeah, but he doesn't look good.
Yeah, but those were his preseason games.
No, I understand
that. He had no preseason.
I understand that. And the thing that worries me about Wentz, and I don't even know if I want to use the word worry, but the
mild
thing that's
concern.
Yeah, the mild concern here is not physically, because he's going to have some rust and he's going to miss some throws.
Right.
The things are the reads. He's been just having poor reads where this guy should have been in the film room. And I'm sure he was watching film while he was hurt this whole time.
I'm absolutely positive he was.
But the reads have been very, very poor. Off the line, he's not seeing a blitz come, or he's not seeing, you know, a corner drop back. The reads just haven't been there. And that's the concerning part for Wentz.
Yeah, but some of that can come with familiarity getting yourself in the rhythm of the game. The Eagles' rushing has not been very good. Carson Wentz also hasn't had a ton of time. The offensive line has been awful.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to get better. As scary as that is to say, I don't really know if it's going to get better. So Carson might have to make his reads a little quicker. Last year, he had a ton of time.
Yeah.
He had what seemed like 15 minutes to stand in the pocket, wait for someone to get open, make a decision and make the throw.
Right.
This year, it seems like his reaction, like his pocket time is less than 5 seconds, I'd be willing to say.
Yeah.
And you gotta, if you're the offensive line, you gotta give your
your quarterback time.
Yeah, for sure.
Carson's mobile, and he's looked good when he's been flushed out of the pocket and when he has made decisions to get outside the pocket and create some space. But he's got to be able to stand in the pocket sometimes.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't.
No.
But so I'm not willing to put the blame on him.
No, I'm not putting the blame on him. I mean, there's going to be rust for sure. I just, right. When it comes to the reads, it's something that I want to see him improve on.
Well, right, but he has no time today to make the read. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if the offensive line gives him 10 seconds like they did last year, he probably makes better reads.
Well, but not even just the reads in the secondary. It's the reads on the line where he just doesn't see a blitz coming just from reading it beforehand. He just...
Right.
And then he ends up getting his bell rung, where you put partial blame on the line and partial blame on him because he's got to see that blitz coming before it happens.
Well, and I know for a portion of the season last year, Doug Peterson was giving him two or three plays and letting him call it at the line. I wonder if maybe he hasn't done that over the last couple of weeks to let Carson kind of get himself in.
Yeah,
I wonder if Doug has kind of restricted Carson's play calling at the line ability.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I don't have access to the headsets, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. If Doug tried to kind of get him down to one play at a time and kind of tell him to go with it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Just then, to kind of let him offload that decision-making process. Right.
Give him some training wheels first.
Right, and let him just stick to calling the plays. But as Carson gets more comfortable, you would think that Doug will open up. Right, exactly. You would think. You would think that Doug will open that back up and let Carson be Carson again.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that only because, like, I understand it was a major surgery, but before he went down, this guy was an MVP. He was a lock before he went down.
Okay.
So... I mean, why would you play it any different? I mean, he's still the same MVP. Like, he's still that player.
Right, but he also has a worse offensive line.
Are they, though?
They're playing worse.
It's the same line.
They're playing worse.
Sure, they're playing worse.
They're a worse offensive line than they were last year. Even if it's the same bodies,
right.
It's a worse line. Period. Like, that's not even up for debate. So maybe knowing that that's coming, because Doug has to say it.
Yeah.
You take a little bit of the decision-making out of Carson so he can focus on executing well.
Right. Master one thing before you master another kind of thing.
One step at a time. Right. And in the preseason, I'm sure Doug Peterson wasn't going to give him four plays. He's going to, go out there and run this.
Right.
So maybe they treated the last 2 weeks as Carson Wentz's preseason.
It's possible.
In terms of play calling.
It's possible.
Not in terms of what he can do, not in terms of taking him out after the second quarter, but in terms of how complex you make the game. And football can be a very complex game, and I feel like they simplified it to let Carson get back in the swing of things.
It's possible.
Week, now that he's gotten... 2 full weeks of practice with the team and 2 full games. If that's the case, I expect this week to be the week where training wheels kind of come off.
You think so?
They have to. At this point, you're 2-2. And if you go in 2-3, you start to get yourself in trouble in terms of playoffs.
Right.
Now, you win this game, you're 3-2. Everything's fine. You're in good shape. You still got a bunch of division games left, which should be wins. But if you're 2-3, all of a sudden the Giants look a little scarier. And these teams that you're playing the rest of the season start to look a little scarier.
Yeah.
Not scary. You know, the Eagles are still a very good team. The defense didn't look great against Jacksonville.
No.
They looked awful.
You mean Titans?
Tennessee.
Yeah. No, the defense is more concerning to me than the offense, because I think the offense will pick up steam.
Yeah, they made Marcus Mariota look like a Pro Bowler.
They really did. Marcus Mariota, AFC Player of the Week, threw for like 350 yards.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
Marcus. I mean, that's a very pedestrian offense, and they were all over them.
Yep.
The last drive, they had 2 fourth downs. One was like a 4th and 15. I mean, you just can't.
They converted on 3 fourth downs on that last drive.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It can't happen.
One of them was via a questionable penalty.
Yeah.
But the other two, they just straight up beat you.
Yeah. Especially the 4th and 15. For some reason, they were playing, 10 yards behind the first down marker, where you just can't let them get a first down.
No, you can't.
They throw a little, out route to the first down marker. He's about 3 yards after the first down, and Nobody's near him for some reason.
None of the fourth down conversions even looked challenging.
No.
It looked like it was first and five after a penalty.
And I think
first
that,
and five, they do whatever they want.
And that goes down to coaching, right?
Like that's play calling right was there, just yeah. not the play calling was not where it needed to be on the defensive side of the ball last week.
No.
I mean, especially in overtime.
Right. They had three chances to win that game.
Yep.
So.
By the way, quick little stupid thing. Why is NFL overtime 10 minutes?
I don't know. Like,
just make it 15. Make it a full quarter.
Right.
Like, I think Jacksonville won with like a minute 30 left in overtime.
Yeah.
You're only getting one possession per team if they both have decent drives.
I don't know why you keep saying Jacksonville. It's Tennessee.
No,
they're both in the abyss of the NFL. Right. So
why not make it 15?
It used to be.
Because that way...
It's the first year where it's 10 minutes.
It's
stupid. And then if you've noticed, there's been two ties.
Right. Right. The Eagles had their drive and chewed up like six solid minutes.
Yep.
And now Tennessee was playing in a four-minute offense. They didn't even have time. And like, I'm not complaining that, you know, they were a little rushed, but I'm complaining that they shouldn't have to be.
Right.
You should have time to run the ball and establish the run and let the clock tick if you want to let the clock tick. And
yep. Yeah, this is the first year they've done that. And I don't understand what the reasoning is.
Right.
But you're going to have more ties. And they've already had two this year.
Yeah, like I honestly don't understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
Like how many games even go to
There's been overtime? A decent amount this year for some reason.
It's but weird.
But yeah.
How many ties were there last year? One?
One.
Maybe two?
Yeah, and there's already
if I'm
been
missing
two.
One. Right, and there was two in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's just a freak nature of two games going to overtime. But then you're not giving teams enough time to establish any sort of rhythm.
Right.
They're rushing.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, that was out of the blue, but I noticed it was a 10-minute overtime and thought that was strange.
Yeah, it was the first year they're doing it. I don't like it either.
Eagles-Vikings. What's the call?
So the Vikings pretty much are the same team, other than they don't have Case Keenum, they have Kirk Cousins. So,
so they're the same
basically
team.
The same quarterback, so same, the team. Same team. Yeah. The Eagles defense hasn't looked good, but they're better at home.
Right.
I'm going to give the Eagles the W here. I'm going to say 27-17.
Okay.
I think Carson looks a little better.
Okay. I think the Eagles have a hard time scoring.
Okay.
I think this game is going to be 21-10 Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah. And I think you're going to hear talk of trading people. I'm not saying they're going to, but the media is going to tell you that they have to trade for Le'Veon Bell or blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, that talk is already around.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Should trade for Le'Veon
Bell. Yeah, it is.
Because he still hasn't shown up to Steelers.
No, there's rumors that he's going to
show up week seven.
Yeah, after the bye week seven.
Which is like, I think the latest he can show up.
No, I think the latest is week 10.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Regardless, they keep pushing back. He was supposed to show up at the end, the last preseason game. He was supposed to show up at the first game.
Yeah.
Then he was supposed to show up at the second game. Then he was definitely going to show up at the third game. Now they're saying maybe week 7.
Week 7, yeah. So, I mean, they're still looking to trade him. I wonder, like, his first game back. I wonder if this is a message from the offensive line.
Just lay down?
Yeah.
Just step out of the way?
Yep.
The lookout block?
Yep. So here you go. Have at it.
It's not going to happen.
No. Probably not, but
his the offensive linemen up there have already said
they're
frustrated.
Yeah.
They're not particularly happy because he makes seven times what they do.
Right.
I believe and was then, the direct quote. Yeah.
They're a big reason why he's successful.
Exactly. And their offensive line hasn't been like world beating.
No,
he's still a very good running back.
But you want to go get your money, you know, in training camp, you hold out, fine. But as soon as, you know, week one comes, show up and play with your team.
Because he's on the last year of his deal?
Yeah. Well, they've been franchise tagging him every year. And he just won't sign it because he just wants a long-term deal. But nobody's giving long-term deals to running backs anymore.
You can't.
You just can't. They break down.
The average career of an NFL running back is 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So. Remember Sean Alexander?
Right.
Remember Peyton Hillis?
Name. Yep.
I mean, these are guys who had one good year, got paid, gone.
Yeah.
And especially with the new trend of teams giving players more guaranteed money.
Right.
Back in the day, if you signed a guy for $12 million a year, it was fine because only 1.5 was guaranteed.
Right.
And if he sucks, you cut him. And you take a 1.5 cap hit, sure. But now, you know, $9 or $10 million of that's guaranteed, and now you're paying them for a long time.
Yeah, and now a lot of teams run the you run like a running back by committee kind of thing.
Yeah,
a lot of teams don't have like a soul back.
Yeah, but to be fair, how many are there? How many soul backs? Elite running backs are there?
3 to 5, if that.
Exactly. So teams don't really have an option.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles don't have an elite running back.
No.
They have a couple very good ones.
Yeah.
But they don't have a Le'Veon Bell or a Devontae Freeman or like one of these elite top level guys. And even Atlanta, who has Devontae Freeman, is still mixing it up a lot. And you know,
with Tevin Coleman.
Exactly.
So
part of that is probably workload management.
Well, and Tevin Coleman's a better receiving back, so he gets a lot of the catches out of the backfield and things like that.
Right. But this isn't exactly new. Flashback 10 years, the Eagles had the three-headed monster.
Right.
Brian Westbrook, Carell Buckhalter, and Deuce Staley.
Yep.
Man, I haven't thought about those names in a while. That was weird. But, all right, so you have an Eagles win today, and I have an Eagles loss. And you guys will know before the show goes out.
Yeah, so you don't have them scoring at all, really.
No.
What makes you say that? Just because I think
they struggle against this Vikings defense.
I mean, does the number 38 ring a bell? We'll drop the mic. Does the number 38 ring a bell to you at all?
Yeah.
That's what they put up last January.
I agree. I understand that. So. But I also think that this has potential to be a letdown game.
We also I think last week was a letdown game. Well, but we also haven't seen the ballsy Doug Peterson yet.
I agree.
We just haven't. So maybe this is what he is in the regular season, and his balls show in the postseason. Maybe that's
but if you start 2-3, your chances of making the postseason go down pretty significantly.
Yeah. Well, I think it's different now, in this division. Because the division's not very good.
Trash.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So you have, what did you say, 21-10?
23-10
Vikings?
I'm going to make it 23-10.
23-10 Vikings.
21, I'm going to make it 23.
All right. So there you go. He's got 23-10 Vikings. I have 27-17 Eagles.
Yep. And I still haven't seen MVP candidate Carson Wentz.
No. And
until I see that, it's tough to predict the Eagles offense having a great day.
Yeah. That's true.
It's just tough. Like, until I see it.
I think they looked better last week with Alshon playing his first game back. Alshon looked terrific. It was very good having him back.
Yeah, it definitely was. And you know Carson likes going to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he just has no time. It really comes down to the line.
Yeah.
Vitae is atrocious.
Yeah.
Because whenever he's in the game,
he's not good.
No.
Peters isn't getting any younger.
Peters is another year older and definitely starting to show his age. It's just not.
And who knows? I mean, Lane's not allowed to do PEDs anymore. So
right, he's gonna.
So who knows? Well, maybe he is, but he's not playing like it.
Right. No, so. I know. So we'll see. I think it's gonna be tough. I think it's gonna be an ugly game, knockdown, drag out. And I have a feeling that the Eagles don't come out on the right end of this one.
All right. Well, we'll know the answer before this goes up. So.
Yeah. With that, I think we're going to transition into another Philadelphia sports team, and it's the team that we love. It is the Philadelphia Flyers.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Who started their season on Thursday night.
It's officially hockey season.
It's officially hockey season.
Feels great to say.
They started their season Thursday night with a very impressive win against Vegas.
Yeah. Hashtag it is October.
It is October.
yeah.
So I said this to you on the phone the other day when we were having a conversation. This win, the win Thursday night in Vegas, depends a lot on who Vegas is.
If
Vegas is the 109-point team they were last year, you know, winning their division, coming in as the one seed in their division, then this is a great win, and it's a statement.
Yeah.
If they come back down to where people expected them to be last year, 75, 80 points, you know, below 500, out of the playoffs by January, this win is fine.
Yeah. I expect it to be a long season for Vegas. I don't expect them to have the year that they did last year.
Yep. Also, the Philadelphia Flyers became the first team to beat Vegas twice in Vegas.
Really?
Yep.
I guess dating back to last year, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah,
the Philadelphia Flyers are the first ever team to win two games in Las Vegas.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So they looked really good.
It's the fact of the day.
Robert Hagg played a great game.
Yeah.
Radko Gudas played a very nice game, which I'll get into in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Elliott looked really good.
Yep.
Nolan Patrick looks like the number two overall pick in the draft.
He still hasn't produced, but he looks fast. He's flying everywhere.
He's ready.
Yeah.
It's amazing what an offseason will do.
Yeah.
When you don't have one for 4 years.
Simmons looked very good.
Simmons looked great.
But I want to halt expectations for Simmons. Because, I mean, if you remember last year, he hit a hat trick the first game.
Right.
So let's pump the brakes a little bit and saying Simmons is back.
Of course.
Because last year he had a hat trick the first game and then looked awful all year.
I understand that. But I also think that Wayne Simmons, and I know we thought it last year, I think Wayne Simmons is healthy.
Well, yeah. And like you said, we did think that last year.
I think that's why people are excited. Because Wayne Simmons last year, even though we didn't know he was injured, he looked slow.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look slow.
Right.
He is in there throwing bodies. He's excited to be playing healthy hockey. You can just tell. You can tell by watching him play that he's excited to play healthy hockey.
Right. Yeah.
Him and JVR were developing a little bit of chemistry in that first game.
Now JVR's hurt.
I know. We'll get into that. Yeah. And the team just overall played really, really well. There was a stretch of about 10 minutes in the second really period where they just scored 3 goals.
Yeah. Oscar Lindblom became a dangler at one point.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah, it was great. Provy played a great game. Ghost played a good game.
Hag had an absolute snipe.
Hag.
But yeah, it was an overall good game. It's something that it's good to see them get off to a good start, because usually they kind of they wait to have this good game, right?
You know, people say that Flyers have won their last 4 season openers.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe it's not an opener thing. Maybe it's a first week or first 2 weeks.
I agree. Kind of thing. They come out strong.
Yeah. So I don't know.
And then, you know, they played well and expectations were high and things were running good. What do you think of the decision to scratch Radko Gudas in game number 2 for Christian Follin? Now, before you answer that, think about it as a decision, not a result. Right. Yeah. Notwithstanding what Christian Follin actually did, which was look awful.
He looked awful. But chances are the reason he did it is because he wanted more speed against a very, very, very fast Colorado team, which I get.
Nathan MacKinnon is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Gabriel Landeskog, ridiculous. JT Comfort, Tyson Jost, Tyson Barry, Eric Johnson. They are a fast team.
They're very fast.
They're young and they are fast, and they're going to be dangerous in the West this year, by the way.
They're very, very fast. So that probably is what Hextall, you know, made Hextall do that.
The thought. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, execution-wise, I mean,
Christian Follin looked like a traffic cone.
He did. And if you're Hextall, you have to know that. And because he did not play very well all preseason.
I thought you didn't put stock in the preseason.
I don't when it comes to the vets and the guys that I know can play. We didn't really know much about Follin.
Okay.
We
he was
didn't.
In, what, L.A. last year?
Yeah. We didn't really know much about him. Well, so he did not play good in the preseason. And when you're battling for a spot, if you don't play well, you shouldn't get a spot. Like, I wonder if he sees this performance against Colorado and says, maybe I should send Follin back, right? Gudas will be my 7th defenseman. Let's bring up Myers.
I don't
think it's going to happen, no, but it's an interesting concept.
Myers also looked pretty bad in the preseason.
That he did.
So, I think I want Philippe Myers to get 15, 20 games in Lehigh Valley. And we are going to touch on the Phantoms in a minute, because Carter Hart made his professional debut last night.
It's a Carter Hart error.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want Philippe Myers to get 15 or 20 games in Lehigh Valley to get him his stride.
Right.
And if he crushes it, if he kills it, if he looks great, then maybe we talk about waving somebody and bringing him up. But I think as it sits, this is probably the 7 that we're going to carry
probably
for a while.
And Follin should stay the 7th guy.
Right. And I wonder if Gudas was nicked up. They didn't mention
after
it.
After one game, though? Like, Gudas is a tough guy.
James Van Riemsdyk got hurt in the second game.
No, that's true. But Gudas is tough that if... Well, remember, it would have had been a big injury to keep him out.
Remember what you said last year about Wayne Simmons? Is you wish he had just missed the first 8 to 10 games of the season and gotten healthy?
That's true.
What if Radko Gudas, what if he, you know, pulled his hamstring, something fairly small, or he pulled a calf muscle, something that's not going to cripple you,
right?
But you're going to be a little sore for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he goes and tells coach, and coach says, all right, cool, we'll give Fallen a shot. Because you got to figure out what he is.
Yeah, I would like them to say that, though.
Yeah, there's something.
Because, I mean, the Flyers universe is going nuts.
Yeah, but there's something to be said.
And burying Hackstall.
Well, there's something to be said for giving the guy a shot. I know Fallen didn't look phenomenal in the preseason. Stop checking your fantasy team.
Listen, this is important. It's 1:20 right now. We got games going. Yeah, we got games going on. And we're doing this podcast. What do you mean?
Is your roster set for the day?
Yeah.
Okay, then why does it matter? The scores will still be the same in an hour when we're done.
Ah, James Conner already got a touchdown.
I don't care.
That sucks. All right, moving on to the Flyers. Yeah. So I had to check my fantasy score.
No,
right?
You don't.
Yes, I did. You were talking, and I was fine. I was letting you go.
Given Fallen a shot, I think it's okay to figure out what he is. We figured out he's terrible.
Yeah.
He might be the second worst defenseman on the roster.
I disagree.
Andrew McDonald looked atrocious last night.
He did.
Atrocious.
He did.
And he didn't look good in Vegas either.
No. I still think Fallen's worse. But, like, people have been saying, and I said it too, that the weakness of this team is goaltending. If the goalies are healthy, it's not. It's defense. After Provorov and Ghost, this team gets very thin very fast.
I think, like, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think Travis Sanheim is closer to a top 4 D-man than a top 6 D-man. I think he needs to get there this year.
Maybe.
For this team to have a shot.
He's got the potential to, but right now as it sits.
I'm saying, I think he needs to get there this year for this team to have a shot.
Right.
And if he doesn't, then they probably don't. I also think Robert Hägg has top 4 potential.
No.
I know you don't.
I disagree.
I know you don't. I think he's going to see a lot of top 4 minutes this year.
Because it goes back to the defense.
On this team, he's probably the 4th best defenseman. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's better than Gudas.
Yeah.
He's better than Fallen.
Yeah.
He's better than McDonald.
Yeah, I give you that.
He's your fourth best defenseman.
I give you that.
Probably not better than Sanheim. We've talked on this show a lot that I'm a Hägg fan, and I think that he's going to be a top 4 player. I don't think he's ever going to score 20 goals. I don't think he's ever going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think he's a solid top 4 shutdown guy.
Sure.
You know, he'll get, you know, I don't know if they're playing him on the penalty kill yet, but I think he's going to get some penalty kill time. I think he's going to end up being a good, solid top 4 guy.
Right.
And I think if that's the case by the end of the year. Okay, think about this. Andrew McDonald's done after this year. Correct?
Is he? Probably one more year.
I believe so. Double check that. If Andrew McDonald's done after this year, if he's not, they should buy him out. I don't care. After this, you have Ghost and Provorov as your top pair. Sanheim and Hägg, who I think theoretically fits there. And you have Gudas, and you have a spot open.
He's got one more year.
He's got one more year. Yeah. Buy him out. If that's the case, it's a good defensive squad. I don't think Robert Hägg is a bad fourth best defenseman.
On a non-cup contender, I think you need better players than Robert Hägg as your fourth best defenseman. It's just, I don't see Hägg as not a long term, because he's going to be here for a while, I think. I don't see him as a top 4 guy going forward. Like, I think if he's in your third pair, I think you have a very good decor.
Right. In an ideal world, he's playing
bottom
pair because, you know, Philippe Myers comes up and takes his spot. Or maybe.
And again, there's questions with Philippe Myers. Like,
right.
There's questions with all these guys. Like, all these guys just have potential. And I wonder if come February, if they send Fallen through waivers and just bring
Marin in as the 7th.
Yeah, Sam Marin as the 7th.
I wouldn't hate that. I think he's the oldest of the bunch, except Ghost, but Ghost went through college, whatever.
Yeah.
He's the oldest of the bunch, of the prospect D-man bunch. It's kind of time to figure out if he's an NHL defenseman or not. And I think he had a real shot at making the team this year if he had been healthy.
Maybe.
If he was healthy, I don't think they would have signed Fallen.
Probably not, no. I agree with
that. And either he's your seventh man, or Gudis is and he's playing, or McDonald is, or you know, your bottom pair.
They rotate the three. Right, or four,
your bottom pair is McDonald, Gudis, Moran on a rotating with somebody sitting out.
Right.
And I think that defense is a lot better. And I don't know how high Sam Moran's ceiling is now, because he's just gotten hurt so much. His development is crippled.
Yeah.
But I think he could be a top four guy.
It's tough to say that.
I know.
Right now, just because, like you said, he's been banged up.
Imagine if he wasn't hurt, and your top six this year is Provorov and Ghost, and then you have Sanheim and Moran, and then Hag and Gudis and McDonald. It's better than where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Right? You know, maybe it would lead to McDonald getting less ice time, which is always great. Lead to him being in the press box for more games, which is always great. But as it sits, there's really not much we can do about it.
So, no, not anyway, at all.
The Flyers also lost on Saturday night in Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say largely because of Christian Follin, but he
didn't play well. Yeah, he didn't play well.
Yeah, he contributed. I think he had a bad turnover that led to a Colorado goal.
Yeah.
Andrew McDonald also did, but he always does. He's good for one a game. So.
Right.
I don't think the team looked awful.
They didn't look awful. They didn't look good
either.
They
didn't play a complete 60 minutes, but they're the Flyers. They never do.
Right.
Colorado is good.
They're good. They're very good.
So I don't look at this loss like the end of the world.
No, it's not. It's a second game of the year.
Right. There are people jumping off the bridge, and we're two games into the season. This team is not what it is. They're still figuring out what they are.
Right. A couple of things to take from the first couple games is Giroux doesn't look like 102-point Giroux.
Okay.
He's been sort of invisible.
I think he's making an effort to be better defensively.
I mean, maybe.
And I think some of that is at the expense of your offensive game.
I also haven't seen Voracek at all. He's been invisible too.
Okay. But
so they're your two big guys that you're supposed to rely on heavily, and they just haven't been there.
But the team still looked pretty good in both games.
Right.
They looked really good against Vegas.
They looked very good.
No primary scoring.
Right.
I think Simmons scored one. He tapped in the Hag shot. And that's not even primary scoring, because Wayne Simmons is on the third line.
Right.
Who scored in that game? Hag, not primary scoring.
From Simmons, the first game we're talking about?
Yeah. Simmons, not primary scoring.
Lindblom scored a goal.
Lindblom, not really primary scoring. He's playing on the second line. Did Konechny score one? I think Konechny might have scored one. Which I would call that primary scoring.
Right.
But if you think about it, that was
Lindblom scored the first one. Simmons, Hag, Lawton. So Simmons got two, Lawton one, Hag one, Oscar Lindblom. So
nobody on the top line.
Correct.
What was the issue with the Flyers? One of the issues with the Flyers last year was no depth.
Yeah, they relied on the top
they
line
relied
way
on
too much.
Giroux having 102 points.
Yep.
And Sean Couturier having 85 points. And on your second line, having Jake Voracek with 90 points.
And this is exactly what I said last week when you said, you know, hey, because I didn't expect Giroux to have the 102 points. I didn't have Couturier to have 70-plus points.
Right.
You said, where's the other scoring coming from? Well, I think it's going to be spread throughout their lineup like we've seen the first couple of games.
I agree.
So,
I think Lindblom is going to step up and have a stellar season. He could score 40 this year.
I don't get carried away.
I think him scoring 30 is almost a lock.
No, a lock. You know how hard it is to score 30 goals?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I hope so. I hope you're right.
Oscar Lindblom, perennial 30-goal scorer. Yeah.
I mean, he's on pace for 41, so.
Speaking of another perennial goal scorer, JVR got injured on Saturday night.
He did, yeah.
He left the game early in the second, I believe, or late in the first.
Something like that.
Early in the game.
Yeah.
He ended up not coming back. Have we heard word about that?
No.
About any sort of...
Nothing. I think it's a lower body injury.
Yeah, it was definitely his knee. His lower body. If somebody tried to clear the puck out of the zone and it hit him in the leg. It was definitely... It's a knee bruise, I would guess. Just based on how it all went down. So I imagine he's a little sore.
A bruise is a hell of a long way from the heart.
Yeah. Thanks, Jesus.
There's a quote for you.
Yeah. So... from the best sports movie of all time, yep, right?
Exactly.
We're not going to get back into that. But hopefully he doesn't miss more than a game or two. I can't imagine he's going to miss too much time. JVR is a tough player. And especially playing on the third line, you're not asking him to play 24 minutes a night. I hope to see him on Tuesday because I will be at the home opener.
Yeah. So there you go.
Flyers home opener is Tuesday night against San Jose.
The Sharks.
Let's do a little prediction for this week. Between today and our next show, the Flyers play three times. Two of those games are at home. San Jose on Tuesday.
San Jose on Tuesday?
Yeah, what do you think? San Jose obviously is the new kid in town with Carlson, Burns, Vlasic, Pavelski. Like, they're a good team. Yeah. Thornton. They don't have a ton in the way of forward depth outside of Pavelski and Thornton.
Vander Kane, too.
Vander Kane's fine. He's their Wayne Simmons. I would compare Vander Kane and Wayne Simmons. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Would you say that they play a similar style of game in terms of physicality?
I think Vander Kane is a better player.
How so? I'm genuinely asking. I'm not challenging you.
He's faster. He can fly. He can flat out fly.
That's fair.
And he's got a better shot. He can shoot the puck.
Okay, well, who would you compare him to on the Flyers then?
On the Flyers?
Because Evander Kane's not as fast as like a Travis Konechny type.
No, he is.
Really?
Yeah, he's fast.
Okay.
And that was the person I was going to compare him to, was Konechny.
Okay. Well, then hopefully you're at home and you can put out your Couturier line against Evander Kane.
Yeah. Sharks are 1-1 right now. And that's the second night of a back-to-back. They're for them? Yeah, they're in the aisle.
Okay.
On Monday.
Yeah, that's a dub. You play your backup goalie against the Islanders, probably.
Probably, and then play Martin Jones against the Flyers.
Yeah. So what's the score on Tuesday?
I'll go 4-2 Flyers.
I'm going to go 3-0.
3-0.
Yeah.
You're going to shut that team out, huh?
Yep. And then... you said it's day two of a back-to-back for the Sharks. It's day one of a back-to-back for the Flyers. Wednesday night, they go to Ottawa and play in Ottawa. You want to talk about that train wreck of a team?
That is a train wreck, yeah.
Mark Stone is the only good player they
have. They are 1-0-1.
Yeah. The overtime loss was what? The Leafs?
Was it?
I think it was.
Hold on.
Or did they?
No, they beat the Leafs. They beat the Leafs. They beat the Leafs 5-3.
And the Leafs are a good team.
The Leafs are a very good team. They lost to the Blackhawks in overtime.
Okay. I think Ottawa is going young. I think Ottawa is going fast. I don't think Ottawa is going to be very good this year. I think games that Ottawa wins will come down to Craig Anderson.
Yeah.
And if he stands on his head like he did 2 years ago when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, then Ottawa could win 35-40 games. I still don't think they're a very good team.
No, me neither.
That being said, day two of a back-to-back, which means you'll probably see Calvin Pickard because Anthony Stolarz has cleared waivers.
Yep.
And has been assigned to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Makes sense.
Presumably to back up Carter Hart for now. And then to back up Alex Lyon later. But
do they carry three goalies or do they send one of them to the ECHL?
I think they just carry three.
Maybe.
It's going to the E is tough.
Yeah. Well, Stolarz did it, I mean, all last year. Well, I know because he was
hurt. That was rehab, but, though. Yeah. That was rehabilitation. Now, he wasn't assigned to them. They were rehab stars.
Right. Yeah. So it's different.
Right. Yeah, if Aaron Nola gets hurt and pitches the game for AA, he wasn't sent down.
Right.
He's rehabbing his way back up.
Right.
I think they just carry three, just because there's no reason to send any of them down.
Right.
And the way the AHL schedule works is a lot of their games are clustered on the weekends.
Right.
A lot of weekends they'll play like
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah.
You just throw three different goalies in there.
Right.
Legitimately. First night you play Carter Hart with Lyon backing him up. Second night, you play Carter Hart with Stolarz backing him up. And the third night, you play Lyon, Stolarz with Lyon backing him up.
Right. Speaking of Carter Hart and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Yeah.
He made his debut.
And he won his professional debut. He made 31 saves on 34 shots, and the Phantoms won 6-3 against the Bridgeport Sound Tigers.
There you go, which is the Islanders affiliate, I believe.
Makes sense.
I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, again,
it's fine.
It's the AHL. It's tough to... It's really tough to read AHL stats, because most of the shooters aren't as good. Speed isn't quite as high. But then also the defense isn't quite as good.
Right.
So it's tough. It's tough to call. It's tough to read too much into it.
Yeah, it is.
Right? If Carter Hart's ERA.
Wrong sport.
If his goals against gets below 2 and sticks there, all right, that's something to read into.
Yeah, it is.
But as of right now,
it's 3.
If it's anything higher than that, it's tough.
Yeah, it is.
If his save percentage is, you know, 925. And his goals against is 204.
Right.
You can't really say too much about that. It's probably pretty good.
Right.
But it's tough to know how that'll translate into the NHL level.
Yep.
Now, if he dominates, which I hope he will, then that's pretty easy to see. But anything in the middle, anything short of stellar, it's really tough to read into. And I would have to watch the games and see how he looks.
Right.
Because if he's in position and the puck gets by him, that happens. That happens at the best of goalies.
Yeah.
But if there's a real chance that he's up here by the All-Star break,
could happen.
Especially just given. No, and another reason I think the Phantoms carry 3, by the way, at least for the time being, is so that at any time
one of the goalies go down.
One of the goalies can go up to Philly.
Or that, yeah.
No, because neither of the Flyers goalies are pristine when it comes to injury health.
Well, Elliot,
Calvin Pickard's fine.
Elliot had never really had a lot of people say he's got injury history. He really doesn't. Like, I understand he's coming off of an injury and coming off of a surgery, but that's really the first one he's had in his career. He's an older goalie, so, I mean, the body could just break down.
He was also a backup for a decent chunk of his career.
No, he was never really a backup.
He was a 1B.
Yeah, he was. He split with Jake Allen.
Right, he's never played 60 games.
No.
I don't think ever in his career. No. Maybe once.
He might have with Calgary, but...
No, because he had Mike Smith behind him, didn't he?
No, Mike Smith was there after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he came here and Mike Smith went there the same offseason.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think... I don't know what they're going to do when Stolarz comes back. Or when Neuwirth comes back. That's the real question for me. Because they have to hold on to Pickard for 10 games or 30 days.
That's false.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's Jim false. Jackson said it on the broadcast last night.
It's false.
Then what is the rule?
I don't believe there is one. Because I heard people say the same thing, too. But there was another situation happened. I forget who it was. A few years ago it happened. So unless they change the rule in a year or two.
I'm sure they probably have. Because Jim Jackson literally mentioned it on the broadcast.
That's false.
I take what Jim Jackson says as fact.
A fact?
In terms of that, when he talks about a rule, I'm willing to give Jim Jackson the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he's been a Flyers broadcaster for 20 years.
Sure, but I've also heard that's false. And that's just a rumor. It's hearsay.
I don't think Jim Jackson really deals in hearsay.
I mean, you never know.
Anyway, the thing he said was that they have to hold on to Calvin Pickard for 10 games or 30 days. After that, they can do whatever they want with him. I'd be okay with sending Michael Neuwirth through waivers.
Yeah.
If that is the case.
Yeah.
If that is the case, and again, I'm gonna give Jim Jackson the benefit of the doubt here.
Sure.
I'm willing to put Michael Neuwirth through waivers because... At his best, he's about as good as Calvin Pickard. He's probably a little better than Calvin Pickard, but Calvin Pickard also doesn't get hurt every other period.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm trying to read the rule. Sorry. Yeah, that's why I'm going out.
I don't think it costs you anything to waive Michael Neuwirth.
No, not at all.
And if he clears waivers, you send him down, you send Stolarz to the E, and you have a ton of goalies in your system. Like, I don't really know what the Flyers are going to do if Michael Neuwirth comes back and goes on waivers and clears waivers.
Okay, so that is the rule, sort of. It applies here because he was claimed after they already submitted their lineup or their roster.
Okay.
So he was designated as quote-unquote non-roster.
Right.
So that means it'll change, you know, with the 30-day 10 rule or 10-game rule does apply to him.
Okay.
Specifically. So it's a case-by-case thing, it seems like, but... Yeah, you're right.
What was that one more time? I expect that to be the end of the show clip, by the way. You just saying, yeah, you're right.
Nope, I refuse.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I got a tickle in my throat.
So,
all right. I think it's time to get out of here.
Yeah. Let's finish up our predictions real quick.
Okay.
San Jose on Tuesday, we both have Flyers wins. Ottawa on Wednesday. Do we both have Flyers wins there, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Give me a score.
5-2.
Wow. Okay. I'll go 4-1. Pretty similar. And then Saturday night, Vegas comes back.
Yep.
And we play Vegas again for the second time in 9 days.
Yep.
For a 1 o'clock Saturday matinee at Wells Fargo Center.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got?
4-1 Vegas.
Wow. I'll go 2-1 in overtime, Philadelphia.
Okay. So the Flyers will win in the next three games.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I think you are a homer.
Sure. I got the Eagles losing.
True.
So, all right. I think that'll just about do it for us
Real quick. Do you want to get into the whole debacle that was the UFC last night?
I forgot we were going to talk Saturday about night. This. So we don't usually talk about MMA on this show. But last night at UFC 229, some chaos broke out.
Yeah. I heard about this morning when I woke up.
The card goes great. There's a couple really, really good fights on the card. Main event. Khabib Nurmagomedov, I probably butchered that
a mouthful.
Yeah. Defended his lightweight title against Conor McGregor.
Everybody knows who Conor McGregor is
everybody on earth knows who Conor McGregor is. Khabib Nurmagomedov, you know, maybe not so much, but...
Right.
And apparently, I didn't order the pay-per-view because I don't particularly care about MMA that much. Apparently, their fight was stellar. Apparently, it was a really, really, really good fight. Conor's ground defense was apparently very good. He tried really hard, but Khabib just kind of wore him down.
Right.
So, at the end of the fight, if you haven't heard about this by now, go look at the video. It's absolutely insane.
It's nuts. I just looked at it right before we started recording, and it is insane.
Shortly before the end of the fourth round, Khabib gets a rear naked choke on Conor. And Conor taps. So, fight's over. Ref comes in, stops it. Khabib kind of stands over McGregor, postures on him a little bit, kind of gives him that punk look. And one of Conor's corner guys starts giving it to Khabib. I don't know if something happened specifically, if he had a problem with the way he applied the choke, or he didn't let it go quick enough when the ref got in, or regardless.
He held it there. He held the choke
a little bit, but not terribly long. It wasn't egregious.
Right.
So he started chirping at Khabib, and Khabib started chirping back. And then, they kept going back and forth, and all of a sudden Khabib runs, jumps over the cage, and just dives feet first into the crowd.
Yeah.
And starts brawling with this guy.
It was WWE style.
It was outrageous. Yeah. It looked fake.
Yeah.
It looked like a streaker ran through the octagon and then dove into the crowd. Like, right. It didn't look like one of the fighters.
No.
So he jumps into the crowd, a melee, absolute melee,
everybody's freaking out.
The floor of T-Mobile Center in Vegas. Speaking of Vegas. And while all this is going on, security rushes to go, you know, break it up, blah, blah, blah. Guys come out of the octagon to go support this chaos that's going on. While that happens, one of Khabib's guys comes in, sneaks in the door while everybody else is going the other way, and starts taking shots at Conor. Conor doesn't really engage, kind of backs up, covers up a little bit. While he's doing that, one of Khabib's other guys, I don't know his name. I know his name, but I don't know how to pronounce it, and I'm not going to butcher it. One of his training partners, who I believe is a light heavyweight, he's a fighter.
Right.
He runs up on the outside of the cage, jumps over the cage, comes up at Conor from behind and absolutely suckers him.
Yeah. Didn't even see him coming.
You saw the video. He absolutely suckered him.
Yep.
And again, Conor didn't really... He engaged a little bit, but not really.
He was more trying to defend himself than anything.
He was just playing defense.
Yeah.
It was absolute chaos. Dana White refused to put Nurmagomedov's belt on him in public. And he said at the press conference after, he said, I'm not doing that. There's going to be a riot.
Right.
People are going to start throwing stuff. We're not going to be able to get you out of here. And apparently Habib talked to Dana White. Watch Dana White's press conference too when you get a minute. He was talking to Habib and said, no, we're not doing that. And Habib goes, oh, I don't care. If I'm going to get arrested, I'm going to get arrested. Just put the belt on me. And Dana White refused. Multiple members of Habib's team were arrested.
Yep.
Conor refused to press charges. So they were released. All the fighters involved, not in Omega Manoff, but the guys from his corner, Dana White said they'll never fight in the UFC. They're facing sanctions from the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Dana White refused to comment on if Habib was going to keep his belt. He said it's kind of up to Nevada at this point, and right. Nevada could strip him. It was chaos.
It was just nuts.
Haven't seen the video, there are video, there are cell phone videos all over YouTube. It was outrageous.
Right, and this probably dates back to the whole incident where McGregor threw the chair at the
It absolutely does. Now, how much attention did you pay to the build of this fight, Mike?
Not much.
Not much?
No.
So, essentially, it started at Madison Square Garden in April with the bus incident.
Mm-hmm.
Connor faced some court time. I think he got community service or probation or something fairly minor. He didn't serve jail time for it. Paid a bunch of fines, and you know, according to Dana White, it cost him, air quotes, millions of dollars.
Right.
Which I believe. Totally. So, Habib was on that bus that Connor threw the trolley, the cart, the hand truck at.
Right.
So that's kind of where the bad blood became public. I'm sure there was stuff before that behind the scenes that we really don't know. Things got pretty fired up when the fight was announced because it's Connor's return fight after 2 years away from the UFC. He was stripped of both of his titles because he was gone for so long. He fought Mayweather in a boxing match last year. Whole big thing. This is his coming home.
Yeah.
The press conference got pretty personal. Connor was taking shots at Habib's team, called one of his trainers a terrorist snitch.
Really?
And the guy is literally an FBI informant.
Wow. Okay.
There's all sorts of stuff. He took shots at Russia because Nurmagomedov is from Dagestan, Russia. Has taken pictures with Putin and,
right.
You know, is well known that he's Russian, obviously.
It seems like it's a circus. It's almost WWE style with the whole promotion. And
when I first saw the bus footage, I was actually not convinced that it was real and spontaneous because there were four cameras there.
Right.
Why are there four cameras in the bus tunnel?
Right.
Nothing happens in the bus tunnel. There's no reason for cameras to be there. And yet there were three or four perfect angles of McGregor throwing something through his window. It almost seemed a little bit staged.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they're trying to compete with the WWE. Right. I mean, you just had Ronda Rousey right before that, who's the biggest fighter, has brought all this attention to the sport,
right.
Go to WWE. So, I mean, they're trying to compete for sure in a way.
And even before that, you have Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Brock Lesnar was a name because of WWE.
Yeah.
You know, won the UFC heavyweight championship in his third fight. The only reason he had that much hype was because of WWE.
Right.
CM Punk has done a little bit of UFC. He's 0-2. He's probably never fighting in the UFC again. But, you know, there's been a significant amount of crossover. You know, even on the WWF/E side of things, you know, going all the way back to Ken Shamrock in the mid-90s. Ken Shamrock was one of the pioneers of mixed martial arts as a competitive sport.
Right.
So there's been crossover forever.
Yeah.
And Connor's teased going to the WWE a bunch of times.
Has he really?
Yeah, he's talked about it. He's like, yeah, I would do it. You know, it's fun.
He is a showman, that's for right. sure.
So anyway, the press conference got really, really personal. Connor was talking to the quote-unquote terrorist snitch and asked him how his son was. And it's the son that he had to abandon when he went into informing.
Right.
It got personal. Yeah, it was really dark. It was really personal. And I don't think that it was planned or scripted or blah, blah, blah. The hatred is real.
Right.
These guys do not like each other.
Yeah.
Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor. Right. Hate each other.
It makes it entertaining for the rest of us.
Right.
That's and now for
we,
sure.
Here we are about 12 hours after the fight ended. And the only question people want to know is, when's the rematch?
Right.
because that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
Now, I think McGregor is going to go fight Nate Diaz, and I think Nurmagomedov is going to go fight Tony Ferguson because that's where the money's at. Nurmagomedov, Tony Ferguson is a huge fight. I know you don't really know, but
not really.
They've tried to do it like 3 or 4 times, and it's gotten moved and pushed back, and it's a cursed fight. Like it's been pushed back 3 or 4 times.
Well, I know McGregor tweeted this morning saying, "Good knock, can't wait for the rematch."
Right, right. Well, and it was McGregor's 4th loss of his career.
Right,
he hasn't lost very much.
No,
Nurmagomedov 27-0.
Right,
I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
He was 26-0. He beat Connor. He's 27-0. Dude's an animal.
Yeah,
he mauls you.
It's interesting.
He grew up fighting bears. I'm not even joking. In Dagestan. Bears.
Well, Russians are all insane.
They're insane. Yeah, we learned from Ilya Bryzgalov.
Yeah. And and Ivan Drago. Just saying.
Why you have to be mad? It's only game. Anyway.
They're insane.
The
they're
absolute cat. We're not going to talk about MMA every week.
This might be the only time we ever do it.
Probably never again. Yeah. Unless there's a rematch, we might bring it up.
Right.
But it was absolutely insane, and it's all the sports world is talking about.
Yeah.
That being said, we're going to get out of here. You can let us know what you think about the McGregor Nurmagomedov thing. Bonus points if you spell Nurmagomedov right, by the way. You can tell us.
Can't even say it right, let alone spell it.
You can tell us what you think about that whole ordeal. Was Connor defending himself? Did Connor antagonize? Did Nurmagomedov cross the line, etc.? Let us know what you think at YWT Podcast on Twitter. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our semi-new YouTube page. And until that, we're going to get out of here, and we'll see you next week.